Jones
and Mike, real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey playing, city living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade. Sound familiar? It's, you know, shit dudes say about family, women, philosophy, politics, history, people, money, pop culture, kids, fighting, business, life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com. This hour, Jones has a bone to pick with people who root for the boner. Mike preps for his first concert with his kids. And Jones asks, could you kill baby Hitler?
This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike.
Jones, one of the things that kind of bugs me about you is that when you became a vegan a few years ago and you started practicing transcendental meditation, you got your mantra, milk bottle is your mantra, right?
Yes, repeatedly. Milk bottle.
It's so annoying how like even-keeled you became. Like, so I'm a hothead, I'm passionate, I like to say. Other people, they just call me jerk. But you are the calm one. But not today. So pissed today. I don't understand.
I am. I'm surprised that you think I've lost my fire.
You've lost your edge over the last few years, but not today. Today you are passionate.
Yes, I am very passionate. I'm very upset.
Yeah. What has you so upset? Yeah, what is it?
America has me disturbed.
It only took long enough.
It took long enough, but we're here now. America has me disturbed. Why am I disturbed?
Yeah.
America's reaction to Ken Bone.
You don't like Ken Bone?
No. This is what's driving me crazy. This is what has got me angry this week.
Yeah.
Ken Bone comes out. Everybody knows the guy from St. Louis, the Super Mario looking dude in the Andy Williams sweater.
Whoa.
Brave enough to ask a question.
You're practicing the politics of personal destruction right now. You're taking on his looks. How dare you?
Well, that's 50% of why people like him. He looks like a gaming, virginal, Midwestern dork in a red sweater. And there's something about that that makes people just go, oh, and reels him in. Yeah. And from the moment that this guy started speaking, I immediately was like, this guy's an idiot, right? And the country has fallen in love with him.
Let's hear the Ken Bone question from the second presidential debate between Trumpy and Clintonista. Clintoris, I've also nicknamed her. It's not really taking off.
The Clintopotamus
is really good. Clintoris, the Finkosaurus. There's a lot of names for her.
I do like Clintoris better.
Clintoris is a great one.
It's clean yet dirty.
Yeah, and I did everything you're supposed to do. The kids say just put a pound sign in front of it and then post it somewhere. And then just sit back and watch as it just goes stratospheric.
And?
Nobody's using hashtag Clintosaurus.
Oh, that's terrible.
Or Clintoris.
Clintoris. That's great.
Yeah, I know. So Clintoris and Trumpy having their St. Louis town hall style debate, which I think all debates should be in this fashion, where it's around, you know, in the round, and the audience poses the questions, and then apparently we need, for whatever reason, we need a couple of moderators there to, like, keep it fair. And this was when America first was introduced and ergo fell in love with Ken Bone.
We have one more question from Ken Bone about energy policy. Ken?
What steps will your energy policy take to meet our energy needs, while at the same time remaining environmentally friendly and minimizing job loss for fossil power plant workers?
Mr. Trump, 2 minutes.
Absolutely. I think it's such a great question.
Okay. Now, before we even get to Ken Bone.
Yeah.
That, when I heard Trump respond to Ken Bone, that broke my heart. Not that I'm a Trump supporter, but he's been so alpha male through this whole process.
Well, what's he supposed to do? Like, call him a dweeb?
I just, wow, great question, yeah, great question. I just, you're cupping the nutsack of Ken Bone. Okay, now here's my problem with Ken Bone. First of all, we're 3 weeks away from the election, and he's undecided. And everyone's reaction to this, and even the way that Ken Bone is positioning himself, is it's thoughtful. I'm not rushing to judgment. If you don't know 3 weeks before a presidential election whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, and it's a little blurred in this election cycle, I will grant you, yeah, but still, you're an idiot.
Whoa, it's wait, not, he's just being thoughtful, and that's what a good, please, conscientious voter should
three
be.
3 weeks out, you don't know who you're voting for 3 weeks out. There's going to be some answer to some question.
Well, wait a second. This presidential cycle has only been going on for like 24 months.
Come on.
We need more time.
I mean, that's the thing. When I already can't stand when people watch debates and think that, well, I'm going to pull some information out of this. It's like, when have you ever watched a debate and went, oh, I thought it was a Democrat. I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
No, everybody goes in there knowing that they want to blast one person and save the other.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Yeah, well, with these debates, I think most people who were watching on both sides of the aisle were watching to see if, like, Trump would have a meltdown. Like a WWE vein bulging meltdown, or if he'd just fall to pieces and like, you know, have like a TIA event.
Right. And I look, I can appreciate tuning in to see the meltdown. But other than that, if you are tuning in to a debate, especially this late in the game, for informational purposes, to educate yourself, to equip yourself to make a decision, you're an idiot. And now this country has gone forward and we have propped up. You've seen the video. He is a grown-ass man and he is dressed like Andy Williams.
Yeah, and you could tell some effort went into that outfit.
That's the shame. That's the shame of this.
He may have bought a special outfit for this event.
Well, he claims that he had a suit, and he was going to wear this lovely olive suit, but he found out... This is perfect for a Ken Bone.
I think you have an olive suit.
I do have an olive
suit.
I had an olive suit.
I think you bought it for your mom's wake and funeral.
No, that's not olive. That was dark. But I did have an olive suit. No longer have it.
Oh.
But this is perfect for Ken Bone. He went to get his olive, this is his story, he went to get his olive suit, lovely olive suit out of the closet, and it doesn't fit him. When he went to put on the pants, they split open when he went to get into the car, because but in his own words, apparently I've put on 30 pounds.
Oh.
Now, how do you, this
didn't
is
realize
perfect
that.
For, yes, you bought, you didn't realize, like, man, I've put on 30 pounds since I bought this suit. You didn't realize that till you were getting in the car and split the pants? You don't know who you're voting for as you're driving to a debate with the two candidates? Like, this guy is late to the picnic at every turn. And America is just like, oh, red sweater.
Yeah,
like
Ken Bone is always the last to know everything.
Yeah, so why are we, like, aren't we America, like, the best? Run through the hole, get the touchdown.
Yeah.
Why are we
Get
putting
girl,
this guy up on
save
the pedestal?
The day.
Even here's, did you see him on his Jimmy Kimmel appearance? Kimmel has him on, which I get why Kimmel would have him on. But Kimmel has him on. They cut to Ken Bone, and of course, he's still wearing the red sweater. This idiot has now put himself in a position where if he's going to do anything with his newfound fame, he has to wear this stupid sweater for the rest of his life. He's on national television
or
again.
Or else people won't recognize him, is what you're
yes.
saying? Unless he's wearing the red
yes.
sweater?
Yes, yes. So here he's on national television, dressed like he was 4 days ago.
Yeah.
And Kimmel's like, oh, everybody, Ken Bone. And they go to him on the satellite screen. You look adorable. It's like, another grown man just referred to you, a grown man, as adorable. Shouldn't that just click in your brain and go, I've made bad choices?
Yeah, no, he seems to be thoroughly enjoying his 15 minutes of fame and even cashing in on it.
Yes, yes.
And even he's handling the heat of his fame because he's getting heat now. He's handling it better than seasoned people like Trump has. He's handling it better than Clintoris does.
I will say that, yes, he has had some things break bad in terms of his personal life becoming public since he's become Ken Bone and has a following of the Boneheads.
That's right. The Bone Zone is what you enter when you follow him.
Now he's handled some stuff well. I will give him that. My reaction is to mainly like, look, I still hold to the fact that I think he's an idiot, but I'm more upset with the fact that people are like propping him up.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I have a problem with.
Well, and it's not everyone, dude. So in the comments section under that video there, Beat Films writes, Bone versus Kanye West 2020. Could you imagine those two running for president on opposite sides?
Honestly, I don't think it would be that much different than what we're going through now.
Chris Hammer responds to that with Bone versus D's Nuts 2024. Mosquito writes, oh, why is he a meme? And Nova Enforcer responds, Mosquito, because he is a legend. So maybe you're right. He's already a legend.
I will admit, though, to be fair, and we haven't given him his proper due, he's handled some weird stuff. You're right. Better than the Clintoris, better than Trumpy. But still, I have this question that I want to ask my fellow Americans.
Yeah.
Why is this guy at the front of the line?
Sketch writes, Harambe reincarnated into Ken Bone.
I don't even get that one.
You don't get that one?
No.
Oh, come on. When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
So your reaction to Trumpy kind of being like, such a great question, intrigues me. Perhaps you would have been happier if Trumpy would have given a little Alex Trebek to Ken Bone. Did you hear this tape of how he treated this contestant on Jeopardy this week?
I have not heard the tape.
All right. So this is, you know, they do like the little after the first break, they like interview the people.
Yeah, the get to know you segment.
All right. And there's this chick that Alex kind of takes out back behind the woodshed.
Different type of music is something I've never heard of, but it doesn't sound like fun.
I think it's very fun. It's called Nerdcore Hip Hop. It's
Nerdcore
Hip Hop. Yes. It's people who identify as nerdy, rapping about the things they love, video games, science fiction, having a hard time meeting romantic partners, you know. It's really catchy and fun.
Losers, in other words.
It's not
bad. The person watching it on their DVR laughing. It's like, dude, if you're going to put something on YouTube and it's a DVR thing, don't laugh. I don't want to hear you laughing.
I know. But it's a little harsh, but not bad.
Yeah, so like nerd.
Trebek is catching hell for that.
Yeah, well, so apparently people that are into nerdcore hip hop and just nerds in general.
I will say this. I do have on my iTunes, I have one nerdcore hip hop track, and it's awesome.
Who's it by?
It's by a guy named MC Frontalot. And it's called First World Problems. If you pull it up,
yes,
it's good. I'm telling you. I shouldn't just put that on you right now. Pull it up like everyone wants to listen to it. But it's good. I'm telling you. This is the only track I have. And I've checked out his other stuff. It's way weird. Like Dungeons and Dragons they rap about. And like mythical creatures. And like nerd, like way nerd stuff. It's
what's his name?
Crazy.
Sir
MC Frontalot. F-R-O-N-T.
Right. Like, I want to put, like, sir in front of a lot whenever I hear a lot.
I know. Well, this may be good enough. It'll get you to change that vibe.
Really? Okay. Is this it?
Yeah. The lyrics are good. Uncaged and at large to talk smack at you through the networking appliance that's in charge of every drip of your attention. Yo, when mine goes out, I've got to log in just to mention my disappointment at the interruption of convenience. I mean, just a lot left, but none up in between this couple of minutes here.
I don't know, man. The video's kind of cool. It's kind of well done.
It's good. It's good.
You think
good.
I need
this
to wait to the bridge? Your GPS run out of battery. First world problem. Got to wake up Saturday. First world problem. You just delayed the honeymoon. First world problem. Pledge season's coming soon. First world problem. Yeah, I think you've made me sit through this before, and both times now I'm like,
See, I like this, but the rest of it, like nerdcore hip hop, is.
This didn't
weird.
Make you like want to like dive into it more?
No. Well, I did dive into it more and look around. The second half of the song's really strong. But
really
we don't
strong.
Have to go. We don't have to go.
Yeah, it sounds just like the first half. Oh, you mean lyrically?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know why I thought it was going to like really pick up.
No.
But you would appreciate it if Trumpy would have been like, look at this guy over here. What a dork.
Yeah. Well, no, wouldn't it have been great if he was like, first of all, I would like to say it's a pleasure to meet the great Andy Williams. Second of all, to get to the question, like, wouldn't that?
Yeah.
Honestly,
sit down. You're a fat slob. This is what's wrong with America.
No, you don't. Here's the funny thing. You wouldn't even have to do that. But what if he did make the Andy Williams comment? To me, that would say this is a guy that can vote for Trump. This is a guy who can be in front of a group of people, still command the room, think on his feet. Mm-hmm. He sounded like a robot there. For all of his alpha male posturing.
Antics, yeah.
That's a humdinger of a question.
You know what it felt like to me? It felt like that's actually a question I'm prepared for once, and I'm so glad you asked that.
Yeah, it was just the response. I would have wanted something more real. And I say that going into this knowing I hate debates. I don't believe in these people. I don't even believe in the system now of like a centralized government and a president. Like this has just been from like watching a Ken Bone be propped up like he is.
Oh, you think it says something about our country?
It's just clear to me that the most important thing is that there is a circus that people can watch and be entertained by. And from time to time, they can tune into a Stephen Colbert, previously a Jon Stewart. They can say something quiptacular. Now, what's the British guy? Oliver.
Yeah, John Oliver last week tonight.
Yeah, they can listen to someone quippy like that, repeat something at the water cooler and feel smart about themselves. Rather than just having the Brian Jones level of intelligence of spotting a Ken Bone and in 5 seconds going, he's an idiot. 3 weeks from an election, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's a moron.
So what is it about people that they liked this guy? Because now he's catching flack, and he's catching flack for actually not totally being a dork. Like, he's a human. Like, apparently, he participates in Reddit, which to many people is still a mystery, but it is kind of a weird, seedy, dorky world, and... he has said some pretty outlandish things on there, and that's being exposed, and he's actually rolling with the punches quite well.
That's okay. Now, that's where I'm going to be honest. I saw some of how he handled those Reddit difficulties, and I was like, all right, you're not the worst. I still think you're an idiot because you're unprepared 3 weeks before an election you're apparently committed to. But you are rolling with these, you are taking these slings and arrows much better than most seasoned politicians and celebrities.
Yeah, for example, Ken weighed in. Now, by the way, he goes by Stan Gibson 18 on Reddit.
Yeah,
that's pretty bizarre, dude.
I'm sure it's like some kind of nerd thing, like Stan Gibson is like a hero.
Peter Parker's
in some
friend on one in like comic book number 42.
Right, yes. I bet you.
I don't know, man. Like, so, like, you know, of course, we did the Academy, greatest independent film of all time.
Stan Musial, Bob Gibson.
Do you think that's what it is? He's not a baseball fan.
Well, he had that big red sweater.
No.
He lives
get
down by
St.
Here. Louis. What's it again? What's his tag?
Stan Gibson 18.
It's Cardinals. Has to be.
Well, so I, you know, back in the 2002 era of doing that movie, I created a Yahoo account, and I don't even remember why at the time or now, But it was Vince Nicolay at Yahoo.com. And for years, I used Vince Nicolay at Yahoo.com. Like, as I already had a Yahoo account, so that was my Yahoo account
right.
whenever I needed one. And it became like my porn throwaway email. Or like, if I knew I was signing up for something spammy, I'd use the Vince Nicolay one. Like, I think Redbox, whenever I go there, I have to sign in with, you know, Vince Nicolay at Yahoo.com.
Right.
So, but people have been like, that's kind of creepy. Why do you have someone else's name? And I'm like, oh, well, we did this movie.
Yeah, I know, which makes it so much less creepy.
Totally. So this character's on Reddit as Stan Gibson 18. And among some of his comments, he weighed in on the hacked nude Jennifer Lawrence pictures, which were great. And he writes, quote, maybe she should have been more careful with her pics, but the bad guys are still the ones who sought them out and looked at them. By which, I mean guys like me. I saw her butthole. I liked it.
Now, honestly.
And I did too, Ken.
I know. Oh, now, that's where I go, all right, that side of Ken Bone is the side that I like. Now, that's not the side that America will want to like, but that's the real side.
No, now he's being, like, shunned by half of America that needs safe places and politically correct.
That's
inclusive language at every turn.
That's where Ken wins me over a little bit. He's not a safe places guy.
He commented on one of the NSFW, not safe for work forums on Reddit, including one devoted to pregnant women in swimsuits. I have to check that one out.
Yeah, you're a fan.
Who he referred to as beautiful human submarines. And I like that. I like that a lot. That's actually very respectful.
It is.
And I do like me a prego.
You do. You do, to the point of where I find it uncomfortable.
Really? But more uncomfortable than if you were hanging out with Ken Bone.
And, no.
And he was insisting you refer to him as Stan Gibson.
Yeah, no. You are the bone I am more comfortable with than Ken Bone.
Yeah, and apparently he's catching some sort of flack from the FTC because in the wake of him getting, like, overnight, like, 239,000 followers I'm imagining, on Twitter. Apparently he had seven, before town hall. And I guess, like, one was, like, his wife and the other one was, like, his grandma. Right, so he had like five other like acquaintances following him, and then overnight got 239,000.
Grandma had to love the butthole comment.
Yeah, this is true. Apparently, you know, the Ken Bone Zone swelled so much that he probably got paid by Uber Select, a new like premium Uber service,
right,
to do an ad where he said basically like, "I have made my decision, and it's to drive for Uber Select." Now he's facing like some sort of a fine or charges of some sort from the Federal Trade Commission because any paid endorsement has to be marked as such on social media. And so, you know, I wonder if someone will be getting the bone in their prison cell.
Oh my God.
For the first time ever.
Could you imagine if Jared Fogle and Ken Bone had to share a cell?
Yeah, I know. I love it. Trumpy, like, you know, done some questionable things. Clintoris done some totally questionable things. And out of that town hall, Ken Bone is the one who ends up being charged with a crime.
He emerges the hero, yes. Yes, yeah. No kidding.
Doesn't that show what kind of a country you're in?
Yes, no kidding.
Yeah, the Bone Zone, dude.
Two thieves trying to become the president, and then poor Ken Bone says one thing about Uber. And then couple months from now. Well,
Ken Bone.
Ken Bone.
Welcome.
Pretty red sweater.
I heard you like to talk about buttholes, Ken. So, yeah, we have Trump being accused of sexual abuse, which I think those are all. I think he's getting Cosby'd. And in fact, wouldn't you like to revisit the Cosby thing? And here's in this way, not to get political, but I will get political just for this one instance, because we have spent some time here talking about Cosby, and I have defended him, strangely, and it's been hard. But I think that what happened was someone knew something about him, like he does take Quaaludes, he buys Quaaludes, he does Quaaludes with when he's getting amorous, etc. They took that chink in his armor, and it's been exploited to the nth degree by now like 75 women or something have all basically said, yes, he has spiked my drink. They've all had oddly the same story, which makes people go, oh, it's the same. They're all saying the same thing. It's like, well, yeah, but he also kind of admitted to doing as much previously. in this case, Trumpy, you know, is recorded saying some, you know, oh, I just start kissing him. Just total dopey stuff, right? And now all these women, like on the same day, like on Monday, five women came out and went like, he just started kissing me. And then once there's a chink in your armor, dude, forget it.
Yeah.
And so I feel like he is getting Cosby'd. I feel like Cosby and Trump, kindred spirits.
I don't quite see it that way because as of right now, I see Trump being really more innocent than Cosby.
But there's like zero proof about Cosby. And in fact, some of Cosby's accusers, and they are similar in this way. Like one of the accusers of Trumpy said that he like fondled her in first class on an airplane and she was on The Apprentice on his show apparently years ago. And now even one of the witnesses who was also in first class was like, no, in fact, she was coming on to him and he was kind of ignoring her.
Oh, I'm sure that's the
case. And the media has said,
I'm
well,
sure there's several cases like that.
That firsthand, that witness, that his account doesn't hold water. Oh, so her account holds all the water and this guy's account holds none of the water. But be that as it may. Apparently, she sent like a congratulatory note to Trumpy's campaign manager or some mutual acquaintance of them, like complimentary of him in like August. And now she's up on stage with who? With Gloria Allred, the person who is also on stage with all of Cosby's accusers. So it feels like Gloria Allred is some sort of an operative who they know to bring her in, and she coaches these people up and she convinces and preys upon them. Because they already have this predilection for the limelight or something. Many of Cosby's accusers are, you know, Janet Dickinson and all these, you know, people who are kind of fringe celebrities or wanted to be celebrities presently, recently, you know, at one point. And so it feels like they find these psychos that kind of want the limelight. They let Allred do her, like, MK Ultra mind tricks on them. And then, bam, they got them. And then they're doing the media rounds for the next 3 months, disparaging the person who's the mark in this case. So that's where I see that Cosby and Trumpy are both getting railroaded. And who knew? Who knew that Trump, you know, was on the verge of getting boned in this way when he was staring at Ken Bone's red sweater on that stage at Washington University?
The red bone got him.
So you feel like this says something about America and Americans, that we need to root for the dork, whereas once upon a time we rooted for, you know, a hero, heroic types, strong types. And now we kind of are gravitating towards soft, weak, nerdy people.
No, I don't even know if it's something where it's like, oh, he's soft and nerdy. We like him. Although I guess that would be part of his appeal. I just think there's just something overall that we're really quick to prop someone up without asking a question, without kind of challenging anything. So I don't know. I don't know.
And in this case, the question is, why are you undecided when everybody else made up their mind 18 months ago?
I guess that's why. I guess that would be my main critique. What makes this guy? Why are we so quick to find some charming hero or some personality that's going to make us feel better about this whole process without asking a question? That's the thing that strikes me. That overall, regardless of whether this guy saw Jennifer Lawrence's butthole or whether he likes wearing red sweaters, why isn't America looking at a Ken Bone and saying, you're 3 weeks out from the election, you don't know? Like, why are we praising this guy?
That's right.
This simple man who seems to be unprepared. Handling the butthole stuff really well, but just a presidential election, he's struggling.
Yeah.
Why are we... Is it just because... Maybe it is because... Maybe you're right. That is kind of becoming the American way. He's a simpler guy. That's easier for us to digest in a way. Maybe we feel we have power over him. So we like that kind of character. Just he's simple. He's
yeah,
earnest.
If people were like gravitating towards his vulnerability and his innocence and all of these things, it might be one thing. But it to me, I think it's emblematic of the thing that's plaguing this country, where people like soft, passive, Certainly not aggressive or alpha. That's why Trump turned so many people off.
Yeah, actually, no, I think more and more now. Initially, when you presented that question to me, that kind of caught me off a bit because I was like, nah, I don't know. I don't think that. But obviously, it's a trigger point with Americans somehow. But no, I think that may be more accurate, more spot on, that he just, he is that new beta male that we find more digestible.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? I've noticed this annoying trend on social media, especially. Like, people like to say, I choose none of the above. And it's like, so your statement is, I have decided not to make a decision. Now, you have been famously saying, I don't make this decision because I think the decision is pointless. The president does not do anything. You've gotten into fights with, you know, the news guy on the radio station that we were working at, who was like, you don't vote. Yeah, he couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
The guy's never, ever taken anyone on in his life, and he was angry at you.
Yeah, things did seem to go sour that evening.
I have noticed we've never been back after that evening, but to be that as it may.
Is that... Oh, we were back one more time.
Oh, we were back one more time. Yeah, be that. Regardless, you know, you have been saying for years, I do not make this decision. But now it's become chic for people to say, I'm going to sound smart right now by saying, I choose none of the above. Mm-hmm. And it's like, get out of here. So Ken Bone is basically that on steroids, where he's standing up and he's saying, I'm undecided. I'm still thinking about it. And people kind of like that. They don't like, it's like it's anathema to have a strong opinion and to defend it. It makes you seem like you're being a kind of roguish, maverick, American, all the things that Europeans have accused us of. It seems like in modern America, that's, you're being alpha right now. You have an opinion and you're willing to defend it? That's not safe. I don't like that.
Yeah.
That feels icky to me. I like when Ken Bones of the world stand up and they don't know.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's part of the appeal, too, to the whole Ken Bone scenario. The first person that responded to him was Donald Trump, who was seen as more of the alpha. It's almost, here's this little quivering David, like, I have my red sweater on, and gulp, here's my question. You know, and mm-hmm. It was just like, go, Ken, you can do it.
Right. Yeah, and in that way, I think that fits Trump's narrative, which is, you know, you guys don't have to know. I've made billions of dollars, and I know what I'm doing. Just give me the job, and I you don't have to know. It's okay. He pats you on the head. We're all Ken Bone to him. I didn't know you would be so upset about it, though, when I was watching it on TV the other night.
Yeah, it bothered me. Still bothers me.
Were you thinking about this when you were at the Riviera Nightclub this week?
I was not. I was a much happier man when I was at the Riviera.
Jones and his experiences at Catfish and the Bottle Men? Up next, Jones and Mike.
I've been very happy with the fish oil that I've received. I trust that it's PCB, mercury-free, it's clean, it's wild-caught, and it's the best stuff that I found.
Chris is just one of thousands of satisfied Pacific Rim customers around the world and here in Chicago. You need omega-3s daily, but most of us here in Chicago do not get nearly enough of them from our diet. Even worse, if you're like me, you eat too much beef, and that drives up your omega-6s. Those are the omegas that lead to inflammation in your joints and in your arteries. As I like to say, omega-3s counteract the beef sandwiches. They lower cholesterol, reduce inflammation, joint and back pain, boost brain function and eyesight, improve circulation and performance, open your lungs, and give you a healthier heart. Why are you not getting all of these benefits from Pacific Rim Omegas? Try Pacific Rim for free. Just pay the shipping. This is an exclusive offer just for listeners of this radio station. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com and get your free trial of Pacific Rim. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones, this week, my wife and I got an early Christmas present for our daughters, ages 13 and 11.
Yes.
We're taking them in March to the United Center to see Ariana Grande.
Oh, God.
This will be our first concert together. Previously, my daughters had made me take them to a YouTube star night at the Copernicus Theater. I can't say it. Copernicus Theater on the Northwest Side. Lovely place, but those were like these YouTube stars with millions of fans, and that was bizarre. But this will be our first musical event together, and my wife demanded that we both take them. Ariana's so risque that she needs, you know, you need two chaperones at an Ariana Grande concert.
Man.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to this?
Ariana makes me feel kind of funny. So, yeah, I can actually see that I would dig it.
See, that's funny because that's the one pop star that I've looked at. And I've even said to my sister when we were hanging out at her place one time and something about her came up. And I said, I don't like her. And I don't like her because she looks like she's a preteen, though she's like 23 or 24. And I was like, I don't like her because she looks like she would be a friend of Mike's oldest daughter, but she'd be that advanced girl
that
you don't really want to have around your daughter. Like, I don't like that Ariana girl hanging out with Elise. And so that's my association. So I think it's hilarious
that
this is going to be your first joint concert experience going to the woman that I think would be a bad influence on your daughter.
Yeah, well, yeah, and her album, her website is dangerouswoman.com. So I think that, and of course, it's the Dangerous Woman Tour. So, yeah, it's almost like you kind of nailed it on the head there. I have to kind of divorce myself from that that youthful look. It is kind of disturbing where I do kind of, initially I'm always kind of like, yeah. And then I kind of do look a little closer and I'm like, oh, this makes me feel a little weird. Should I be feeling weird? How old is she?
Yeah.
But she's like 24 or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but she looks like she's 17. Like a Demi Lovato looks like a woman, even though they're about the same age.
Mm.
You know, Ariana and Demi are about the same age. But Demi, if you were to point to her and say she's 31, you'd be like, oh, hot 31-year-old. I mean, she looks like a woman. Man, so are you ready to be the dad at a concert?
I've thought about this a lot. I didn't think it would be something like this. For some reason, I don't know why. I thought I would drag them to a rock show first, but whatever. They wanted to go. We got them tickets. It cost an arm and a leg, but it's early Christmas present or basically their big Christmas present, and away we go.
Now, are they concerned that you guys are going with them? Are they? They're just excited. Are they just excited about going to the show, or are they thinking, "Oh, mom and dad gotta come"?
Oh no, the oldest one was kind of like initially like, "Oh, those seats suck," and I'm like, "Hey, you're not going, no problem. Grace, you can bring a friend." And then she's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! What? You got four tickets? I thought we could both bring a friend." And I'm like, "No, I'm not just dropping you off at the United Center."
Okay, that's interesting.
And then going to the White Palace? No, dude. Like, no, mom and I are going with you. And they were like, "What?"
Oh, so that was strange to them. Okay, they're not super on board with it. That's interesting.
Right.
It's funny that you said that because a couple months ago I was at the Riviera with a buddy of mine. And when we were looking around the room, we just saw a couple older faces. And we were just kind of like laughing, thinking like, you know, it doesn't matter how old we get. There's always going to be someone a little bit older at the Riviera. And we were talking about it and we feel like, me and my buddy felt like, you know, it's just people who loved going to rock shows since the 70s. They love the vibe or the atmosphere of the buzz of the event. So they just want to go and check it out. So maybe they live in the neighborhood where they can walk to two or three shows a week or whatever it is, because you always see those people there.
Huh.
So I went to
see. I wonder if people live there specifically because it's that close to the Riv. No, they can walk there.
Yes. That's my feeling. So I was at the show. I saw a couple older faces in the crowd. I'm like, oh, here we go again. It's always going to be
For Catfish and the Bottlemen.
Catfish and the Bottlemen. So,
and you went with who?
I just went by myself to check it out. You're the only other person I know that would go to see it.
I know. I stabbed out on you. I know.
That doesn't really matter. It's just as easy for me just to go to the show and then bug out afterwards. I don't really. It doesn't. Not every concert, especially on like a Wednesday night.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have to be this big event. So anyway.
But do you meet people when you go alone?
No, I don't even try.
You just stand there?
Yeah.
And like if you get there 40 minutes before the show, you just stand there for 40 minutes?
Not really. I mean, I time it out to where like I missed the first act and then I got there about 10 minutes before Catfish and the Bottlemen went up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now I have it kind of figured out.
And so for the uninitiated, this band is, they're from where?
Wales.
They're from Wales and like their albums... They have very, very simple album covers, which I dig.
They do. Very stencilish. I think they're just more about their music.
And this
that's
is...
That's why I like them. This is Tyrants. This is the final track off their first album.
And
this is my favorite song by them.
Yeah, so it's like two stick figures without heads, and they're putting each other's hand down each other's pants.
It's kind of
so
cute.
It is kind of cute. And you could definitely tell one of them is a woman, so yes. I appreciate that immensely. So the first album is called The Balcony, and this song is kind of more like Britpop melodic. But some of their songs jam. I like them a lot.
Yeah. And I just like the way that this song closes. Like when it ends, it just builds and builds and builds and builds, and then they just cut it. It sounds like you almost think like the track didn't download all the way.
I want to hear that, actually.
Well, they do that on their second album, The Ride, the final song. It plays, it builds, it builds, it builds, and it just dies. So I think we still have a little bit of a way to go here, but...
Oh, wow, dude. You know what? That reminds me of the end of Sopranos.
Yeah, but that's why I kind of like that just abrupt cutoff.
Like, I could not play that song. It was Don't Stop Believin' from Journey. That was the end of The Sopranos where they clipped it. I couldn't play that on the loop without clipping it. Just like that, yeah. After that, for years after that.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Like, my bosses didn't even know. That's what you get for scheduling me in the middle of the night. I would do little Easter egg stuff like that.
Clever.
So you're at the show.
I'm at the show, and I'm seeing all these older faces. You know, not a ton, but I see a few. And I was like, okay, you know, that's the Riviera crowd. They like to live by here, so it's interesting. And then I saw just two rows maybe ahead of me. Like just off on an angle, like in my periphery, I see this older dude, but he didn't look like a rocker. He looked like a full on dad. And it was just weird. He just kind of stood out for whatever reason. And then as the music started playing, he kind of was like swinging his arms or joking around. And then I saw this younger girl next to him, like swatted his arms. And I looked over and it was a girl probably about Elise's age. And you see her do that whole like, dad. Like stopping her dad. And I look over and I can see in the row, it's just this girl and her dad. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so funny. That's so funny to see like the dad and the daughter. And there was one part in the show, and I thought of you, because there was one part in the show, so they're playing their song Hourglass, which is kind of an acoustic song, but the song starts off with the lyrics that are, you know when you're gonna struggle at night, dreams of your all the time.
Oh my.
I know you're tied up and I know your phone's they go through this whole thing and the whole audience is singing it. Like the lead singer Van McCann's not even singing it. He's just playing the acoustic version and the audience kicks in. It sounds great. But when those lyrics kicked in, you saw this father like almost blew up.
Really?
Like the arms, like the head snap back and the arms go out to the side. And I'm like, you know, this poor girl could not wait to see this show. But this was the one moment that she was dreading the whole time. Like, I can't wait to see Catfish in the Bottle Man. Yes, I'm going with my dad. That's kind of a downer, but this will be fun. The only real downer, though, of the night is if they play Hourglass. And my dad hears that thing about dreams of me all night.
Okay. All right. Look, family show here. As a kid, I would watch shows on HBO with my parents, and I would be like, if I knew like the movie, I'd be like, oh my God, that one scene's coming up where they're doing it.
Yes.
And I would be a little anxious about that stuff. But I don't know the kids today or feel like that.
See, but when I saw that go down, I saw the father like blow up during those lyrics. And I think had the singer just been the one that was singing them, it wouldn't have, it was the whole crowd. It was hearing over 2,000 people.
And he wasn't doing it like funnily.
No, he snapped. And I mean, I don't mean snapped out of anger, but you know when someone's
he wasn't expecting
when you
it.
Startle someone,
yeah,
and their body, the way it just reacts, you realize, oh, they weren't expecting that. I startled them.
Yeah, and hello, man. The precocious nature of children these days, dude. Like, was she singing the song? Did you notice?
I wasn't really looking.
Yeah, that'd be creepy.
In the periphery.
Single dude, or nobody's there with him, and he's sitting there staring at the 13-year-old girl.
Right. Yeah. So, but it wasn't until the father reacted. And then when the father reacted, I thought, like, man, this could be Mike.
Yeah.
In just a short while, and then I tell you, I went to see Catfish and the Bottlemen this week. You're like, oh, taking my daughter to see Ariana Grande.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you may be that, you and Jill may be those same people
Yeah.
snapping and reacting to, all of this sexual talk.
Well, okay, so funny that you mentioned that, dude. The other day, my daughter, the oldest, has given me some rundown of what kids at school are up to and blah, blah, blah. And she mentioned someone, and I'm like, wait, I thought you weren't friends with her. And she's like, no, I don't like her, but I was around her this week. And so, you know, she's just a jerk, and she talks badly about people and blah, blah, blah. And she's always flirting with boys. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with that? And she's like, well, Dad, just the way she does it, it's just so annoying. And I'm like, well, wait, I don't understand. Why is that bad? And she's like, she just wants all the guys to like her. She'll do anything to get the guys to like her. And then she said, if she needs a ride somewhere, she'll offer to give you a blow.
What? Like, oh my God.
I was like, what? What did you just say? And then it occurred to me, I'm like, I don't even know if she knows what that is. I don't mean to say, like, you know, she's just so innocent, but the way it came off of her tongue, it made me wonder if she doesn't know.
She couldn't have known, because she wouldn't have said that. She would, even if she was going to discuss it and knew what she was discussing, she'd say, she offers to do, like, all these, like, weird, creepy favors or sexual.
No, I know.
Things. She wouldn't have said she offers to give them a blowjob.
Yeah, I know. But I know. And then I told my wife, and I'm like, who's this girl? I got to give her some ride somewhere.
Oh, my.
I know. She's like, you're terrible. Oh, but I know. That was my inner Ken Bone coming out.
Yeah, it was.
So it feels like, and I had to drag it out of her, honestly, because, you know, she wasn't getting the point across. And I was playing like dumb dad and being like, what's wrong with having boys like you?
Yeah,
and
but that's
what do
a
you mean flirting?
Move.
And because I do want to know what's up. And so, you know, and I think she just finally was like, all right, I'm just going to let him have it. Oh, but there is a part of me that wonders, does she not know? So I'm like, hey, look, don't speak like that in front of me ever again. It's not acceptable. Okay. I know that you hear me saying a lot of pretty awful things, but I'm a grown ass man.
Yes.
Who can wear a red sweater on national TV if I want. You are just a child. You're a dumb, stupid, stupid child. Don't speak like that. So, yeah, I mean, there were girls, you know, like that when I was in eighth grade. She's in eighth grade. Certainly in high school. I mean, I was the dorky Ken Bone kid who was right. Not getting blowjobs. But I just can't believe they haven't come up with a euphemism for that. You know, like, she should say beej when she's talking to me. She should, or bloge.
But she just didn't know. That's clear that she did not know what she was talking
about. So how do I get down? So do you know what that is? Yeah, but how do you know?
I actually, you know what?
And let's go upstairs and talk to her right
this
now.
This is me, not with no kids, so what the hell do I know? But I would almost say, I would almost ask her.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, do you know what that is?
I don't think I'm ready to hear her say, yes, I
well,
do.
Well, she probably does not.
So that would make me feel better? You think I missed an opportunity?
Well, here's the thing. One of my friends said this about his son. And when his son came to him...
Apples and oranges already.
When he was... It is a little bit apples and oranges. But when his son came to him and asked him, hey, Dad, and he was young, Dad, how do lesbians have sex? And he didn't have any kind of discussions with him on that. And I was like, what'd you say? He's like, I told him. If he's old enough to ask, he's old enough to know. And that way, he'll trust me. I'm not going to come up with some cockamamie story when he asks me a question. So the next time he does have a question that maybe involves him, there's a shot that he'll come to me.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Dad was honest with him. And I have to say that as they've progressed, and the young kid is now a young man, he and his father are very close, and the son is very open with his father and does come to him with stuff. So I would almost, if I were you, I would almost double back and say, hey, you remember, Lise, that conversation that we were having a couple of days ago? And you said, that what is that?
Yeah, because Dad doesn't know anymore. It's been so long.
I'm just curious what you think that is.
Yeah.
She'll probably already know, this is going somewhere.
And her mom. Describe her mom. I'd like to go over and meet this woman and have a frank discussion with her.
This is where you take it too far.
She's learning about the beaches from someone. Imagine that. Hey, if you need a ride somewhere, this is how mommy gets it done. All you got to do is offer a bloge. In fact, you don't even have to deliver. Just offer.
And I bet that's what's happening with this girl. But still, I would investigate with your daughter and find out what she knows.
I'm more interested to know.
Because if you're cool about it,
yeah,
you now stand a fighting chance that when she's really...
But she didn't ask. That's a different story. Like, that's creepy to double back, bro.
Well, no, it's fair.
I'm interested in discussing this concept that you brought up.
Well, no, but I think you could even double back and go, you know, I just, you know, when you mentioned it, I did want... I think that you can. I think
it's going to go off the rails. She'll say, you know, I know, Dad, I know. And then I'll be like, having to ask questions. Well,
you could even admit, like, I didn't, you know, when you said it, I didn't kind of know what to say at the time, but I did want to ask you about this. I want you to feel like you can talk to me about this sort of thing.
That's a job for mom. This is why we're not divorced. We can't stand each other, but we recognize that we have a job to do.
Okay. Then get your wife in there.
Yeah, I know.
To do the job.
Yeah, I know. Now, honey, I want you to know about this. It's the most gross thing. It tastes like skin.
Okay, Mike.
It tastes like skin. So I want to know from your buddy how lesbians have sex, because it's one of the great mysteries of Western civilization. I've heard of a technique called scissoring.
Okay.
But other than that, I have no idea about what they do.
I don't know what he said.
What do they? Well, no.
We didn't talk about it.
I want to know.
I don't know. I didn't ask him the question. His son did. You have to ask his son.
I'm here to ask questions and get answers, man.
I'm here to ask questions as well.
Yeah? Good.
I've got one for you.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
I want your answer.
Oh. Is it a personal one? Because I'm not into answering personal questions or divulging personal information.
It's a little personal. We're going to get inside your head.
What? Do you need a ride or something somewhere?
No. No.
Another Pacific Rim Omega customer speaks.
My name is Tony G. I was very impressed by taking the product and the purity of the pharmaceutical grade of the omega-3 fish oil. I really felt very, very good by taking the product. As far as my mood, I noticed the collagen in my face and some of the lines that have disappeared, my nails, my hair. I highly recommend this product, Pacific Rim. I really, really enjoy the product, and I look forward to purchasing more products in the future.
Find out what Tony and thousands of other people know. Pacific Rim Omegas are the best thing you can do for your health. And get 59% off your order right now when you take advantage of this special exclusive offer. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com right now and save 59% off your order of Pacific Rim Omegas, or call 877-324-4227. That's radio.mydailyomega.com. radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
I enjoy it when you play the role of Inquisitor and I play the role of...
The Answer Man?
I am the Answer Man, the Shell Answer Man. You got questions, I got answers. I'm like Radio Shack. What is your question, sir? Is it going to make me look foolish because I'm not going to have an answer for it?
No, I don't know. You might not have an answer for it. There was a question that I saw earlier this week. There was a discussion that took place earlier this week. And when I was thinking about the discussion and then doubling back to what would have initially been the question that would have started it, mm-hmm. I didn't really know how I would answer it. Here's my question.
All right.
If you could travel back in time, if time travel were really a thing, and you could go back in time and kill baby Hitler,
mm-hmm.
would you do it? Do you think you could do it? You can't just go back. It's easy to go back and kill Hitler in, like, you know, 1940.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kill baby Hitler.
That is...
You have to kill a baby.
That is such a great question.
It's not...
I'm so glad you asked that question. Isn't that what Trump said to Ken Bone?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I am wearing a red fleece.
Yeah, you... Oh, my God, you do. The little bone. Because you're like one-third the size of Ken Bone.
I am one-third the size of Ken Bone.
Meanwhile, he's like 12 years your junior.
Yes.
Strangely.
And looks 12 years my senior.
You know who I felt about? I felt like that this morning about Blake Shelton. Blake Shelton is like 38.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, I don't know what he's been doing, but they've been like riding him too hard and putting him away wet because he looks like he's got miles on him.
Yeah, he looks older for sure.
I thought he was like 48, like a good looking 48. But no, he's a bad looking 38.
crazy. And he's with Gwen Stefani, who's like just turned 47.
Oh, Gwen Stefani. So would I go back in time and kill Hitler?
Could you?
Hitler?
Would you?
You're asking, could I kill a baby?
Kill baby Hitler.
Kill a baby.
You can kill Hitler, but you have to kill baby Hitler.
Baby Hitler. And this poses a problem for you? You're acting like Ken Bone. You don't have an answer to this question? Because I have an answer.
That's the thing, though. Could I go back in time and, like, somehow be outside this apartment or house in Vienna and slide up the double-hung window, creep through, reach into the bassinet with a knife or with my bare hands?
Yeah.
And kill a baby.
So here's the thing. I have taken a life before, and you have not.
That's true.
I have a confirmed kill.
In front of your family.
A confirmed kill in front of children.
Ugh, it's disgusting.
And then not only did I kill in front of my children, but then I made them participate in the disposal of the carcass.
This is true.
And there was like blood in the back of my truck and stuff. And then I was freaking out that I was going to get pulled over. And then they'd be asking why there was blood in the back of my truck.
Right.
Who would believe that I had so senselessly murdered a rabbit?
Yes.
In front of children.
But you still have a kill.
I do have one confirmed kill.
Some people will have rolled their eyes when they heard your story. But a kill is a kill is a kill.
Yeah, a kill is a kill is a kill, Robin. Am I right? So, you know, I have the recurring dreams where I'm punching people and I can't hurt them. So I clearly have doubts about myself and my ability to deliver.
See?
When the chips are down.
That's interesting because I've had fight dreams where I'm like winning.
Really?
Like dominating.
Oh my God.
I've had them where I can't pull the trigger or you're hitting someone and it does nothing. But I've had other ones where I was just like Marvin Hagler.
Really? And just the, oh my God, dude, like that's crazy. Like I'm unloading shots in these dreams, but they're just not stopping the opponent. He keeps coming at me, but he doesn't like start like throttling me. I have the upper hand, but it's like, it's like that boxer
anywhere.
Chris Bird,
yeah.
Where, you know, it was a death by a thousand needles where he was just peppering the competition, but never knocking him out or even hurting him.
Right.
So in this case, I think the better question is, how would you kill baby Hitler? Because you would kill baby Hitler. But I think that I would probably opt for a pillow over the baby's face, if you must know.
I've never thought of that.
Because I don't think I would strangle the baby. I think I wouldn't be able to look at the baby.
Okay, but yeah, see, it's not when you throw Hitler into the equation, your immediate reaction is,
yeah,
oh, good guy, he saved 6 million lives, of course. Yeah. But
just the Jews.
Well, yeah.
Only the Jews would survive.
Right. World War II still
see
happens.
How brainwashed
Everybody
you are? Like 50 million people died in World War I.
Right.
Like 15 million Russians.
Right, right. Well, you said World War One.
Two.
Whatever.
Losing track. Wait till the third one starts, and we can forget about
those
other two.
Really lose track.
That's right. Wait till that Jones and Mike.
But
unbelievable.
So when you throw Hitler into the equation, it seems easy, but then when you say it's baby Hitler, it is a little bit different. Now, I haven't thought of the smothering.
See, the better question is, what if Hitler had a twin, and you didn't know which one it was?
Oh.
You had to kill... You had to pick a baby, or you had to kill both babies.
Both.
Yeah, and you knew for sure that one of the babies was innocent.
Ah.
I know, stomach churning, isn't it?
But we know he didn't have a twin, right? Because I think the decision. I don't know what I would do.
You don't know if you would kill the twin, or you don't know if you would kill baby Hitler. Period.
I feel like I want. See, I feel pressure to say, oh, yeah, I'd kill baby Hitler because other people would want to be like, Jones will kill baby Hitler. But deep down, I'm like, when I got there, when I went into the time machine,
yeah,
and I got to Vienna and I slid up the double-hung window and I crept into the baby's room and I stood over the bassinet, could I do it? I don't know that I could.
Man, you make me sick. You're just like every other American who's not sure.
The pillow option, though, is something I hadn't considered.
Because you thought strangely, I wouldn't be able to look a baby in the eye while I was killing
it. Yes. Strangely, well, I was going to say, strangely, the idea gives me comfort of doing it with the pillow. However, then you have to make sure that you did the job. So it's you still have to check out baby Hitler.
What if it was like this? What if it was like this? What if you killed the parents and then you lit the house on fire and you ran away? And maybe you stayed close enough to make sure the whole house was engulfed in flames. But this is a workaround that I think is viable.
Now
to not
is really
directly murdering a baby. Does the baby Hitler have the mustache? Because that might actually enrage you enough.
Yes,
yeah.
There's some level of historical / muscle memory.
Could you pull out a Sharpie from the future that you brought back from the future and just quickly put that on the baby and then kill it to make yourself feel better?
You could, but then you run the risk of waking the baby or getting the baby to cry.
Then
you have to really kill the baby quickly. You have to kill baby very quickly.
And then how do you do that? Like, because I would throw it out the window. If I had to kill the baby super fast, out the window she goes.
I know, but then
right, right. Well, no, all dogs are boys, all cats are girls, all babies are girls.
We're learning that we have to double back on this whole history thing. You got into World War I, you think Hitler's a woman.
Right.
Clearly you're not, even though you feel you're the guy who could pull the trigger, factually, you can't be the one
I'd get back to the future.
Yes, with doing
and I'd be like,
job.
I killed that baby that she died, and they'd be like, you killed a girl baby, Noonan?
Right, yes.
Get back there.
Right, yeah. You killed Amelia Earhart.
Oh, no.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, meanwhile, her navigator was named Fred Noonan. So a Noonan may have killed Amelia Earhart.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
So some of this history you have spot on.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I just...
And so were other people posing this question to you? And if so, what was their answer?
There was just a discussion, and I had just heard that some people felt... It was almost a mirroring of us. The people that were discussing it, one said, yes, definitely. But then they started to worry about the butterfly effect. You know, would just another Hitler emerge and take his place?
Right. Or just, boy, we just have too many people in this world. Like, he helped depopulate the 20th century.
That wasn't the motive. Oh. The motive was kill Hitler. Yes, I would kill Hitler and save all those lives. But then it was, butterfly effect.
Right.
I don't know what would be the consequence of that. Could the
America
our
would still
future
be impoverished?
Worse?
Yeah, we
could
wouldn't have the
worse?
Industrial might of the late
Perhaps.
20th century.
They weren't articulating that, but they were worried about
God,
some
you hang around with
unforeseen
some dopes.
People. And then there was someone else who just felt like, no,
I could never kill a baby, even
the
Hitler.
Best part of myself, I couldn't see them killing a baby.
Interesting.
But then they dovetailed off into another part of the conversation. But I thought, strictly keeping it to baby Hitler, what would you do, John Quinones?
Yeah, what would you do? So did you think, I'm going to ask this of Mike, and he is going to say ...
Well, you are someone who always likes to have an answer or feels that there is an answer.
Annoying, isn't it?
Well, it's just who you are.
I know. I'm the opposite of Ken Bone.
You are. And I just figured if someone would have the answer to whether they would or would not get into a time machine and go back in time and kill baby Hitler, it would be Mike.
And I gave you alternative methods of how you could kill a baby if you ever find yourself in that position. You gots to do it. And you just are having a trouble getting it done?
Yeah. When you absolutely must kill a baby dictator, a despot, Mike will give you options.
Well, and that's what I'm here for. Let me ask you this, in all seriousness. If it was possible to get in a time machine and go back in time, would you be able to kill baby Ken Bone?
I feel... I would like to think if there's an answer, I would kill baby Hitler before I would kill baby Ken Bone.
Baby Ken Bone probably could take you out. He was probably enormous.
He probably was.
He wouldn't know Look, if he should defend himself or
I'll
what.
Say this.
He hadn't made up his mind yet on living.
If I would go back in time and kill baby Ken Bone, I would do it after I went back in time and killed baby Hitler.
Oh, so, okay, definitely. You would say, well, why are we using this time machine to kill baby Ken Bone?
Yes.
There are other people that I should go back in time and kill first.
So I guess the answer is, ultimately, there is a way to schematically move things around in my brain that, yes, I could and would kill baby Hitler. It would take some doing.
Yeah.
But you could get me to kill baby Hitler. I knew you could come up with the answer for you and for me.
That's what I'm here for, buddy.
And I don't like what that says about me.